Chapter 162. John cantered away, and arriving at Doughboys Hall, tied his horse to a gate, and made his way to the schoolroom door, which he found locked on the inside. A tremendous noise and riot arose from within, and, applying his eye to a convenient crevice in the wall, he did not remain long in ignorance of its meaning. The news of Mr. Squeers' downfall had reached Doughboys. That was quite clear. To all appearance, it had very recently become known to the young gentleman, for the rebellion had just broken out. It was one of the brimstone and treacle mornings, and Mrs. Squeers had entered school according to custom with a large bowl and spoon, followed by Miss Squeers and the amiable Wackford, who, during his father's absence, had taken upon him such minor branches of the executive as kicking the pupils with his nailed boots, pulling the hair of some of the smaller boys, pinching the others in aggravating places, and rendering himself, in various similar ways, a great comfort and happiness to his mother. Their entrance, whether by premeditation or a simultaneous impulse, was the signal of revolt. While one detachment rushed to the door and locked it, and another mounted on the desks and forms, the stoutest and consequently the newest boy seized the cane, and confronting Mrs. Squeers with a stern countenance, snatched off her cap and beaver bonnet, put them on his own head, armed himself with the wooden spoon, and bade her, on pain of death, go down upon her knees and take a dose directly. Before that estimable lady could recover herself, or offer the slightest retaliation, she was forced into a kneeling posture by a crowd of shouting tormentors, and compelled to swallow a spoonful of the odious mixture, rendered more than usually savory by the immersion in the bowl of Master Wackford's head, whose ducking was entrusted to another rebel. The success of this first achievement prompted the malicious crowd, whose faces were clustered together in every variety of lank and half-starved ugliness, to further acts of outrage. The leader was insisting upon Mrs. Squeers repeating her dose, Master Squeers was undergoing another dip in the treacle, and a violent assault had been commenced on Miss Squeers, when John Browdy, bursting open the door with a vigorous kick, rushed to the rescue. The shouts, screams, groans, hoots, and clapping of hands suddenly ceased, and a dead silence ensued. "Ye be noise chaps," said John, looking steadily round. "What's to do here, thou young dogs? Squeers is in prison, and we are going to run away." Cried a score of shrill voices. "We won't stop, we won't stop." "Wheel then, didn't stop," replied John. "Who wants thee to stop? Run awa like men, but didn't hurt the women." "Hurrah!" cried the shrill voices, more shrilly still. "Hurrah?" repeated John. "We'll hurrah like men too. Now then, look out. Hip hip, hip hurrah! Hurrah!" cried the voices. "Hurrah! A gene!" said John. "Louder still!" The boys obeyed. "Anuther!" said John. "Didn't be afeard on it. Let's have a good un." Hurrah! "Nu then," said John, "let's have yan more to end why, and then coot off as quick as you like. Tak a good breath new Squeers be in jail the school's brocken oop it's a o'erpast and gain thing o thought, and let it be a hearty un. Hurrah!" Such a cheer rose as the walls of Doughboys Hall had never echoed before, and were destined never to respond to again. When the sound had died away, the school was empty, and of the busy noisy crowd which had peopled it, but 5 minutes before, not one remained. "Very well, Mr. Browdy," said Miss Squeers, hot and flushed from the recent encounter, but vixenish to the last, "you've been and excited our boys to run away. Now see if we don't pay you out for that, sir. If my pa's unfortunate, and trod down by enemies, we're not going to be basely crowed, and conquered over by you and Tilda." Noah. Apostrophe apostrophe replied John bluntly, thou beat. Tak thyotho thought. Think better o us, Fanny. I tell ye both, that I'm glad the old man has been caught out at last, domed glad, but he'll sue for any of without any crowing from me, and I be not the man to crow, nor be Tilly the lass, so I tell ye flat. More than thought, I tell ye knew, that if thou needst friends, to help thee awa from this place dinna turn up thy nose, Fanny, thou mayst thout find Tilly, and I wye thout o' old times aboot us, ready to lend thee a hand. And when I say thought, dinna think I be ashamed of what I've seen, for I say again, hurrah! And dom the schoolmeister. There! Apostrophe, his parting words concluded. John Browdie strode heavily out, remounted his nag, put him once more into a smart canter, and, caroling lustily forth some fragments of an old song, to which the horse's hoofs rang a merry accompaniment, sped back to his pretty wife and to Nicholas. For some days afterwards, the neighboring country was overrun with boys, who, the report went, had been secretly furnished by Mr. and Mrs. Browdie, not only with a hearty meal of bread and meat, but with sundry shillings and sixpences, to help them on their way. To this rumor John always returned a stout denial, which he accompanied, however, with a lurking grin, that rendered the suspicious doubtful, and fully confirmed all previous believers. There were a few timid young children, who, miserable as they had been, and many as were the tears they had shed in the wretched school, still knew no other home, and had formed for it a sort of attachment, which made them weep when the bolder spirits fled, and cling to it as a refuge. Of these, some were found crying under hedges and in such places, frightened at the solitude. One had a dead bird in a little cage. He had wandered nearly 20 miles, and when his poor favorite died, lost courage, and lay down beside him. Another was discovered in a yard hard by the school, sleeping with a dog, who bit at those who came to remove him, and licked the sleeping child's pale face. They were taken back, and some other stragglers were recovered, but by degrees they were claimed, or lost again, and, in course of time, those boys' hall and its last breaking up began to be forgotten by the neighbors, or to be only spoken of, as among the things that had been. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.